and the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And this hour we have Ted Bell, and we also have our good friend Dean Wheeler. And this is the Go-Go's, Margaret.
I recognize that God, but aren't they sweet? They are the cutest little... And you know that Kathy Valentine and I are... We talk.
Well, good. That's nice.
What, are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous.
You're all big names, Margaret.
I know quite a few, and Kathy is a sweetheart. She lives in Austin, Texas. She comes to Los Angeles quite often.
It's just when you do the whole... Yeah.
Well, I'm so sorry, Phil, that I know people and you don't.
Yeah. Woo! Way to hit the post on that, Margaret.
Well, you know something. Make fun if you want.
I know people and you don't.
Yeah, you hit the post on that one.
You don't even know what hitting the post is. You probably think it's placing a bet.
Yeah, yeah, hitting post time. All right, so anyway, thank you very much for that. That's fantastic, Margaret. God bless you. And thank you, Go-Go's. All right, we have with us now, you got it, my main man with the master plan, Ted Bell.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
You got it, you got it, you got it. Ted Bell here, Ted of Beverly Hills. Boy, the college football season, the pro football season, there's never been a better time than to drink at Ted's.
Here at Ted's.
Beverly Hills.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Why do you say Beverly? Everyone knows it's Beverly Hills.
Excuse me?
Why do you say Beverly Hills? Everyone knows that.
Yeah, I couldn't understand you, Margie. Why do you say Beverly? Everyone knows Beverly Hills. I don't understand that.
Okay, let's please not start.
No, I'm not going to start. I say Beverly Hills, Margaret, to reemphasize the fact that I'm Ted Bell, and my restaurant is in Beverly Hills, and, you know, and Hong Kong Charlie, may I just...
Go ahead.
Hong Kong Charlie is, you know... This, the day that man got the lease on the old Bromere building down here on Rodeo is the day that I should have ended my life. And I don't mean end my life literally. I mean I should have ended my life as a restaurant owner. Not because he's a better restaurant owner than me, but if I get one person walking in here and saying, hey, you know, Hong Kong Charlie's got that, it's a good thing that I don't eat Chinese food every night because he's got the special, the Hong Kong Charlie, and then he calls me up. And I will say this right now, Charlie, if you're listening. When you call my home after 11 o'clock at night, and you blurt into the, can I play one of the tapes, Phil?
What is this?
It's Hong Kong Charlie calling my home phone, and my wife saves these messages. And he calls my home phone, I don't know, every so often, just to say this stuff. Here is, you got it? Okay. All right, this is from. Wednesday, December. Go.
Hey, Ted Bell, hold on, Charlie. We got beef and broccoli, beef and broccoli. Hold on, Charlie, Ted Bell.
All right, did you hear that? Phil, did you hear that?
Yeah, what was that?
It was Hong Kong Charlie.
Well, don't yell, Ted. What did he say?
He's talking about beef and broccoli. You didn't hear that.
Yeah, Ted, I heard that, yes.
All right, here's another one. I can't hear anything. Will you guys keep it down? Well, we're in the kitchen here. Let me go into my office. Let me go to my office, Bill. All right.
Oh, Ted Bell, I'm Charlie here, Ted Bell. Hey, Ted Bell, woo! Ted Bell, woo! Ted Bell, woo! Hong Kong Charlie, Hong Kong Charlie. Best price in all of Beverly Hills, woo! Hong Kong Charlie, Hong Kong Charlie.
Can you believe that guy? He's a maniac.
That's harassment, Ted, and you need to call the phone company.
Well, no, I can't because I told him and he stopped doing it. It's not, he didn't think that he was doing anything wrong. I mean, I guess I could, you know.
Well, if he's doing that all the time.
No, he did it a couple, and then I said, don't do it anymore, Charlie, or I'm going to shove your face into that deep fryer you got.
Oh, Ted, you can't say something like that. That's a threat.
You better believe it's a threat. You better believe it's a threat.
Well, was he harassing your home?
He was calling up and saying to Marcy, hey, I got a message for Ted. Would you not pick up?
Well, then she... Okay.
You don't call that harassment.
Your wife knows him, right?
Yeah, we both do.
All right, so you guys know him, and he called up and said, I got a message for Ted.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I don't call that harassment, then.
You don't call that harassment when the guy's going, hey, listen to this one here. Hold on, Phil.
No, Ted.
No, come on, hold on. Hold on. This is from last Tuesday. All right.
Ted Bell, I'm Johnny here. You know what's happening, Ted Bell? Can I park car over your place? Because I got overflow lot tonight. I need place to park a car. It looks like you don't have that much business. Look like...
All right, you hear...
Yeah, do you hear that one? That got me so flustered that I came on mic instead of on the phone. You heard that one, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So now what he's doing is he's busting my castanets over overflow parking, and can he use my lot? Woo! Boy, that guy, I tell you, that is in my business, and especially when you're doing business with me, Ted Bell, and you say something like that, friend, have a care. That's all I got to say.
Ted, it sounds to me, in the parlance of the boys, that he's busting your castanets, as you and Phil like to say, nothing more.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of... It's trash talk, Ted.
What do you mean, it's trash talk?
It's trash talk. It's just trash... You guys know each other? You told him to stop calling your home. He stopped. He's not doing anything other than trash talking with a competitor, a guy that you know. You know, and you, as far as I understand, didn't you host his daughter's prom dinner?
Yeah. What are you going to... Oh, here we go. So you're going to mean... That means, in other words, that I owe him?
No. I'm saying that the families obviously are conversing with each other. You got a problem with him. I understand that. But you've got his daughter there, and it was her... Was it a prom? What was it?
No, it was a graduation dinner.
Okay, and there's Charlie using your restaurant.
Oh, so what am I supposed to do there now? I got to get down on my knees? I got to get down... Phil, do you understand what's going on in the world these days? And I don't mean anything racial by this, and I want your audience to understand... But do you understand that I'm a white man getting on my knees to a yellow man?
Would you say that a little louder, Ted, so that everyone can hear you?
No, I will not.
Ted.
I'm just saying, Phil.
That does sound racist.
Wait a minute. You know me. I'm not a racist.
Well, all right. Then prove it and take that back.
What are you talking about?
Mike, you got to take it back. It's just a statement of fact.
A statement of what fact? A white man getting down on his knees to a yellow man.
Well, you understand the history of this country. You understand that there was a time when the Chinese came into this country, they were taking jobs from me. We had to have it, Andy.
Oh, look at who's balling now. Ted, now you stop. This is General Shaw. Stop it.
General Shaw.
You stop that right now.
Phil, I'm just saying to you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, okay? You're telling me... That just because our families are friendly with each other, that when Hong Kong Charlie calls up to bust my castanets, I gotta get on my knees? Do you know?
Ted, would you grow up, man? You're not getting on your knees to anything, all right? The guy's breaking your... Are you seeing a slowdown in business?
That's not the point.
Yeah, that is the point. Are you seeing a slowdown in business?
Can I finish what I'm saying here? That's not the point. The point is that I gotta get on my knees to a white man...
This is absolute racism. You say you're kidding, but it's racism.
No, it is not. No. I got friends, okay? I got friends of mine over at the Beverly Hills Automobile Association. I got friends of mine that I golf with, and they're looking at me. You know, all right, I'll give you an example. Ben Flagg, okay? I'm golfing with him at Riviera the other day. And he's giving me this look out of the side of his face, and I'm saying, you know, I don't know what his problem was. I was golfing pretty well, but I wasn't beating him, and it was a skins game, okay?
All right.
So finally, he's looking at me, he said, let me ask you a question, Ted. What do you're a white man, and you're bending over for a Chinese guy? Just like that.
And what did you say?
I said, no, I wasn't. I said that I was handling it.
Oh, what? Ted, you're not even a man. If you answer somebody like that...
Wait, I'm not a man.
No, who is this guy, Ben Flagg?
A longtime business associate of mine. Don't start talking crap about him, okay? He's a big-time supplier.
Oh, yeah, but this guy is golfing with you and saying stuff like that, huh?
What do you want me to do?
What I'd like you to do is do what anybody would. I would do it. I if he's a friend of mine, I'd probably put it in a friendly way. I'd say, yeah, that's what I'm doing, man. I mean, and then I'd kid him about, you know, when did you ever turn into the 21st century version of the anti-Chinese league? Something like that.
Okay, I'm not as witty as you. Excuse me for breathing. I'm not as charming and witty as Phil Hendry. I can't think of this stuff.
Ted, this hasn't got anything to do with you thinking things up. This has to do with you defending yourself as a reasonable person. When this man said to you, are you bending over?
Well, what would you say?
Well, first of all, I'd love to meet the man that says to me, let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you and I'm going to tell Phil this, and whoever wants to hear this can hear it. What Jody Arias did was absolutely brutal and wrong, And I'm glad she's going to prison. And I, and you know I'm anti-death penalty, Phil. I hope she gets the death penalty.
I don't think she did she?
I don't know.
Well, I hope they reverse themselves, whatever. But any man that says that to me, he's gonna...
Are you telling me you'd corner him in a shower?
No, I didn't say corner him in a shower.
Well, that's exactly what you'd have to do.
All right, I'd corner him in a shower.
So how'd you get him in a shower?
Oh, why don't you shut up?
You got him in a shower. Yeah, hey, hey, you got him in a... Ow!
Watch it.
So anyway, Ted...
Look at Phil. I'm just telling you what Ben Flagg said. Now, Ben is a good old boy. He's a good old guy. Long time busy. He said to me, he said, look, it's none of my business, Ted. And if you want to tell me to stick it way, way up there and twist it and then pull it out a little and then jam it up again, okay, then go ahead. And I said to him, could you repeat that?
Would you tell me what the conversation was?
So the guy said, he said to me, you tell me, but it seems kind of funny this Hong Kong Charlie is calling your house and talking about overflow parking and all of this, and you're a white man? Wow.
All right, hold the line. Ted Bell, and we got to get Dean Wheeler on here. We are running so late. We are running so late.
Nikki, we apologize, dear. We didn't...
We're running late. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more. I don't even know if we're going to have time to get to half of the stuff that that I want to get to. All right? World-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Get a gift subscription for the one you love to our website this holiday season. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Guess it's time to bust out the Christmas music here and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell is on the line with us from Ted's Beverly Hills. We're going to get Dean Wheeler up here as well, but we've had a rather spirited conversation with Ted about Hong Kong Charlie, who's just opened up his restaurant. And it's very interesting to me that a couple of guys whose families get along great, you've hosted his daughter's graduation dinner, you know, your wife talks to Charlie's wife, and you two guys are at each other's throat to the point of this racial banter.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know something? I've been listening to this now, and you guys have been... It's not racist.
Well, when you sit there and you go, a white man kissing up on a Chinese guy...
I said all I asked you was, how did you feel about seeing a fellow white man on his bended knee to a yellow man? Do you understand?
A yellow man? You hear what you're saying?
Do you hear what you're saying?
Are you listening to you? God, man.
Well, all right, Ted. So Phil's voice cracked. What about it?
Hold on for a minute. I want to jump in on this. I want a piece of this.
Wait a minute. Who's that?
It's General Shaw is who it is. Now, I'll tell you something right now. I've fought in a variety of wars against every race known to man, and I've commanded every race. But the one race that matters to me is the human race.
Very pretty, General. Very pretty. But not effective. And
hold on for a minute there, Bell. Now, we had a great many allies in the Korean War and so on and so forth that were Asian. And you, it takes a big pair on a guy like you. Now, you know.
What? What does that mean?
General, where are you going?
I was going to go get another Nilla wafer.
You know, I think he's senile.
I do, too.
Well, then what do you got the poor old man on the air for, okay? I feel bad for him.
All right. Let's get Dean Wheeler up here before we all go nuts, okay?
Yeah, I'd love to talk to Dean.
All right, and Dean Wheeler is with us from the Northern California Holistic Society. Dean, how are you?
Hi, Phil. I've been enjoying the conversation very much. And Ted, how are you?
I'm doing well. Dean, I want to just mention, we're supposed to be debating or discussing offensive racial names for sports teams. Now, you know that the team that I'm asking you, the team that you wanted me to research was the Atlanta Crackers, is that it?
Yes, that's correct. The Atlanta Crackers, they played in Atlanta, Georgia from 1901 to 1965.
All right, now who goes first?
I don't care. You can if you want.
You let me go first?
Go right ahead, yes.
All right. The Atlanta Crackers, that is a classic example of how white people have been maligned. Now, not only did I have to get on bended knee to some Fu Manchu...
Whoa, wait a minute, man. Okay, hold on.
See, this is the way it's going to go.
Now, what do you mean this is the way it's going to go?
Forget about your experience. We're talking about a whole different topic now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The Atlanta Cracker baseball team, Phil, was a baseball team that obviously was named after a derogatory term about white people. Now, what does cracker mean? Very simply this. It means that you are a piece of white garbage. Not trash. Garbage. You are nothing more than, let's say the garbage is a diaper filled with baby doo. And put legs on it and put arms on it.
Well, that would be a baby.
And it would be, well, yeah, you're right. I get the idea. Okay, well, hold on, Dean. I'm not, you know. Let's take another piece of garbage. Let's say it's a box that's stained with, oh, God. It's a box stained with fetid, stinky, rotten meat. Put a head and legs and an arm and arms on that. Well, you could put one arm on it if it's a one arm. You know what I'm saying? Or let's say...
Okay, we got the example.
All right. Well, do you mind if I just roll it out the way I want to roll it out?
Go ahead. I think Ted is entitled to, Phil.
All right. I mean...
Somebody give Phil a Xanax, please. Thank you. Now, that's what the Atlanta Crackers call themselves, and the fans that came out to see them, the white fans, were basically being told every single day that they sat in the stands of the Atlanta Crackers, "Hi, Cracker. Hi, Garbage. Welcome to the team that's garbage." And if there were black fans in the stands, of which I'm sure there were some, the black fans are sitting there going, "Ha, ha, ha, this is the greatest inside joke I've ever seen. Ha, 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 ha." Okay? So that's all I've got to say. It was an insult, and every day a white fan went to that ball game, he got his face cuffed forward and backward 3 times. And if it was a sellout, it was a gigantic hand. Not really, but figuratively, a gigantic white-gloved hand, because that's what they wore in the South. You know, they wore the white gloves, Phil.
What do you mean?
The minstrel shows, right?
Well, what's that got to do with the white crackers?
Oh, well, that's true. But anyway, there's a big white hand just going slap, 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 all the way across the stadium, like the wave, only it's a slap across the face.
Okay, Dean Wheeler.
Well, Phil, thank you. That was a very colorful description, but let's now talk about reality. A cracker, as it pertains to 18th century southern United States, and there was no United States until the latter part of the 18th century, a cracker was denoted a Scottish or Irish immigrant that was rather itinerant, and one of the things that was featured by these people was their ability to tell a story. They were raconteurs. They were boastful. And that's what a cracker was. This is attested to in many letters going between North America and England at the time, one of which made its way to the King of England, saying, "Your Majesty, they have here in the southern part of the United States what are known as crackers. And these are our Irish and Scottish subjects who have moved to this part of the world and tell these stories and are very boastful people. And they're rather roguish and renegades." So they did about the only negative you could apply to them was that they were considered to be roguish and renegade. I hardly think that that is a racial epithet. I think it's rather charming, and if you will, I think it's a term of admiration. However, it'd be roguish, as I say, and renegade-like, and rascal, you know, and rascally, and everything like that.
Yeah, rascally. Okay, so what is it? Roguish or rascally?
No, it's a rascal.
All right, so they were a rascal. So see, he walked where he stepped in his own. He just took a dump and then stepped in it. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
No, I do not see what you're saying.
I'm saying what he just said was that they were considered to be rascals. Now, the term rascal today sounds very benign. It sounds like a little kid that likes to just dump paint on people or kick them in the rear, you know, kick them in the, you know, the you-know-what. But back in the day, rascal was the same thing as saying scumbag or psychopath. So if, for instance, they had a TV show back in the 18th century called The Little Rascals, you'd be talking about a TV show called The Little Scumbags. You understand?
Sure. Sure, I understand.
Just take a break, Phil.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break, okay?
Yeah, okay, you take a break. That's the same thing as saying stick it up.
Yeah, we will take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What about The Little Rascal?
Well, The Little Rascals was a TV show, man.
Yes, but he's not saying that. Are you listening? But the man is saying that there would have been a time it would have been considered The little scumbag, two-bit, mumbling, stuttering.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Are we going to wrap this up?
Don't look at me. You're the one that booked it.
Well, I booked it, technically. Well, I think they should be given a few more minutes to wrap up.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Are they going to wrap up?
Yeah, let them wrap up.
All right. When we come back, sorry, I bumped the microphone. When we come back, they're going to wrap up, and then they will, and then we'll be off into the wild blue yonder and do some other kind of thing, and I'm not sure what it'll be. It's the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It's that time of year. It's Crystalmas. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I love this. Is this Burl Ives?
I'm sorry?
Is this Burl Ives?
Don't yell, Margaret. Yes, it's Burl Ives.
Have a holly, jolly Christmas.
It's the happy time of year.
I don't know if there'll be snow.
Oh, I love Burl. You know, Frank and I had Burl over one day.
What did he do? Did he eat everything in the refrigerator?
Turn it off. Do you want to say that again?
All right, now hold on for a minute, because if anybody's hands go around anyone's throats...
Anyone's throats?
Yeah, what's that mean?
If anybody...
No, I just want to ask him. Say it again. Go ahead, say it again. I dare you.
I said that he eat everything in a refrigerator.
So in other words, you're saying Burl Ives was a hog. A big, fat hog. Is that it?
I seen him one time. He looked fat.
Well, you seen him one time. Burl Ives was one of the finest... of our actors, as well as a musician. He was an all-around raconteur. We're talking about raconteurs, aren't we? Well?
He was a cracker?
I don't know if he was a cracker. But if you say anything against Burl Ives, Bud, you're getting on the fighting side of me, okay?
And when you walk down the street...
You know that Merle Haggard song, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Dee-dee, and you see the elves and everything. This is a wonderful song. Ho, see, all the traditional ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, it's got great stuff in it.
Oh, does it?
Waits for you. Kiss her once for
according to Phil, it has all the good stuff.
Holy, jolly Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know.
And in case you wouldn't know.
He just said a case of what?
You know, like a case of clap?
This year.
A case of clap. Turn it off. You've ruined it all. Turn it off. I can't.
Why did you guys say that?
Listen, I heard him say, and you're going to have a case of something. Yeah, he said clap.
He didn't say clap. Phil, I don't...
She's going...
I'm going for the white owls. I'll be right there.
She's going to get a white owl.
What does that mean? Does she smoke those cigars out there? Or because I was looking for the white owls.
I can show you where they are, General.
Yes, leave me to the... I'd like to have a cigar right about now. I'm so sick and tired and fed up with the whole...
All right. That leaves you and me, Robert, which is fine with me.
Yeah, well, I've got to get Ted Bell back on, though.
Oh, God, that's right. Ted Bell back with us is sponsoring this segment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And our final segment with Ted and Dean Wheeler as they talk about,
Ted,
well...
of Beverly Hills.
Crackers.
Come on down.
All right, come on down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills while we last, because Hong Kong Charlie... Well, I'm sorry, Phil. Hong Kong Charlie is up the street. There's not a problem. Go have your Chinese food. I don't give a...
Man.
What?
You know, it's like you're giving up or something, man. You're very petulant, Ted, and I don't think it plays very well. Also on the line with us is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. All right, so we've rolled out essentially the pros and the cons. Dean, you have said that the term cracker, as it applied to the Atlanta Cracker baseball team, was actually a positive term. It denoted a raconteur or a roguish storytelling Irishman or Scotsman, and they were very well known to the southeastern part of the United States in the 18th century. Ted, you have said that cracker is actually a derogatory term, that the ball club really didn't care. They just embraced the term as a way of reaching out to the everyman, but in point of fact, it means poor white trash, and so you're not buying it. So, Ted, I'll let you now kick off round two in your defense of your point of view.
Phil, thank you very much. I am Ted Bell, and as Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California, I just got done telling you that I have a competitor up the street by the name of Hong Kong Charlie. And every day he looks down the street, and yes, Phil's right, our families are friendly. Charlie is not a half-bad guy, but I know every day he walks out the front door of Hong Kong Charlie's, he looks down the street, and when I say looking down the street, he's looking down the street as if he's standing on the Great Wall of China and looking down on some dirty, stinky, smelly guy that just got off a ship from San Francisco, and he's thinking, if you don't mind me doing a little bit of a, and I don't mean this derogatorily, but he's thinking, look like me, you know, whatever Chinese, he sees me in irons. He sees me in a dungeon in irons, all right, and I've got a bag of spice and silk that I can't sell.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I don't really know what point you made there, but...
I made a very good point. What are you, crazy or something? I'm telling you that Hong Kong Charlie sees me as a cracker. He sees me as poor white trash. Hong Kong Charlie's looking down the street. He's on the top of the Great Wall of China, and I'm standing down there, a stinky, stanky, smelling sailor from North America. I got crabs. I got venereal disease. He can't wait to throw me in a dungeon, lock me up, and take my very precious petrodollars.
Okay. Dean?
Well, thank you very much, Phil. That was very interesting, Ted, although it had no real bearing on reality. The reality is that Cracker is, as I mentioned, and I'm using the scholarship here, a beneficial and beneficent term about the roguish, rascally Irish and Scots. Now, I did hear when you were going into your commercials there, Phil, someone said that a rascal was a psychopath or a scumbag.
Yeah, that was me.
Was that you, Ted?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's not true either. A rascal is simply an individual who's trying to get over on someone else, but that's not what cracker means. Renegade may be a better term, and a renegade perhaps at one time or another might be a highwayman, but not a universal description of that.
Oh, so when you say a renegade, rascal, or excuse me, not rascal, crackers were also considered to be highwaymen, robbers, things like that?
There were some, yeah, because the cracker in the 18th century was an itinerant, and so he traveled from town to town. In much the same way that I just heard the Elvis, you guys were singing Elvis Presley, going from town to town, thumbing a ride, looking for a rodent.
No, he wasn't looking for a rodent. That was some hallucination Henry had.
No, that was General Shaw.
That was me, Bell. You wanna make something out of it?
No, I don't want to make anything out of it, but you were the guy singing it.
That's right. I happen to like that song. 7 Lonely Days and 100 Rodents. Not 100 Rodents, but the idea, my understanding, and now Phil tells me it isn't so, my understanding was the song was about a man who lost some animal, a dog.
It's not about a dog, General. It's about a woman.
Well, all right. You know, you call...
Boy, Henry, you teed that one up for the general. He was about to hit it out, then he stepped away from the plate and decided to just dust off his pants and check for signs at third base because, oh, baby, you almost walked straight into that.
Yeah, that was almost a line shot right back to the box, Phil. And I don't know if you named, you know, I don't name, did you name the no, no, excuse me, I don't know, name.
Let me do it, okay?
Go ahead.
Do you know the name Herb Score?
Yes, I do know the name Herb Score.
Okay, then you know what. When you said that, it's not a pet, it's a woman, you became Herb Score, and the general was standing there waiting on a changeup. Okay?
Well, a changeup means he could jack it, he could go yard with that thing.
He could jack it out of the park, and he could also do something else, line it right back to the mound. Okay? You understand what that is, right? When he line shot right back to the face of the pitcher?
Okay.
But so Herb Score, that's...
Let me tell the audience, Herb Score was a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians who took a line shot right off his face in a game and lost his eye. It was a horrible, horrible in-game incident. It happened many, many, many years ago. I think it was in the 50s. And Herb Score actually went on to be a member of the Cleveland Indian broadcast booth, but he was very badly injured on this line drive right back to the mound. It must have come back like a rifle shot.
What are you doing now? You trying to get some sympathy or something? Forget about Herb Score. I'm just using him as an example.
Well, you want to use a guy that really got injured? Then I'm going to give the story about the guy, okay?
Okay, great. Go ahead, Paul Harvey. Here's the rest of the story, folks.
Look, Phil, all we're trying to do...
Hold on for a minute. You can't just drop a name in there without me explaining it, okay?
All I'm saying, Phil, is that you are the guy that fed that big, fat, buttered and salted softball up to the general, and he stepped out of the box. He could have swung on that thing and lined it right back into the box in your eye.
All right. Well, thank you both, gentlemen. Dean, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm barely here, Phil, but I think I made my point, and I know I'll be getting emails and mail tomorrow from people saying, congratulations, you won.
Hey, wait a minute, pal, you know.
See you later, Phil.
Hello? Oh, yeah, okay, what a gutless wonder.
You were talking all that time saying nothing. I think he won the debate.
He won the debate? You know, Phil.
I hung up on him, folks, just so you know.
Well, I think that's dirty pool, Phil. Ted was trying to make a good point there.
He wasn't making any point at all. He wasn't making any point at all. 7 lonely days and 100 miles ago, I reached out and it was a rodent he was looking for.
I said a hamster.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is it wasn't. It was a woman. Now, hold on. Because I can see the look in his eye.
Yeah, well, you're teeing it up again.
Well, what do you expect me to do?
I expect you to be a gentleman. If I say to you he wasn't looking for a hamster, he was looking for a woman, and you say I'm teeing one up, and I'm Herb Score, and you're about to hit a line shot back to the box, but you stepped out of the box, you made a good decision stepping out of the box.
What?
Don't worry about it. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Just crazy. Update for you guys. I will be appearing on an episode of Mark Maron's syndicated comedy on IFC. We're going to be filming that in early January, Margaret.
Yes, I just got in contact with my press people, and you will be you'll be filming that episode of Mark's very funny show. And Mark, of course, is a phenomenal story online, on the internet, Mark Maron with his very popular podcast. And yes, you are going to be one of the guest stars on that episode.
So we are going to be shooting that, so I want you guys to be looking for that. And we're also going to be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, which I'm really looking forward to this. The San Francisco Sketch Fest is a long time and very prestigious festival featuring comedy and sketch comedy. And I will be there on January the 26th, sort of rolling out the one-man show, or at least rolling out a version of the one-man show. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. A program note, we're going to be on vacation taking Christmas between Christmas and New Year's off. So when I say that, we will certainly have our best of shows for you. We are also going to have some, not all, not every night, but some best of video casts as well as some live video casts. However, I am going to be going out of town and, you know.
Where are you going to go?
I may be going back to Washington, D.C., and I think I'll go out to the desert.
Well, don't you do your traditional trip out to Palm Springs, don't you?
Yeah, Mr. Barron, you go out to Palm Springs and everything.
Okay, I mean, maybe I will, and maybe I won't.
Well, where do you go in Palm Springs?
I go to a, you know, a little, I don't want to say.
Well, I'll tell you later, General.
Yeah, fine, just, you know. But I go out and hang, and it's a nice place to go. The desert's great in the wintertime. Although I went 1 year, and I actually enjoyed this, though, but I went to the desert 1 year, and I got a really cool place. And it rained, man, it rained almost every bloody day.
Now that was out. You don't really go to Palm Springs, do you?
I go out to that area. But and I was staying at this place I like to stay at, and it was just coming down in buckets, man. And you want to know something? I had a ball, you know.
Well, you know, all you want to do is relax, you know.
Yeah, and it was unusual. You go to the desert primarily to see sun.
Yeah, well, you go out the desert to see cactus too.
Yeah.
You don't go to the desert to see cactus, necessarily.
Well, what do you go out there for?
You go out there because it's beautiful and, you know.
Well, you go out there because you expect there's going to be some... In the wintertime, the weather is perfect. It's temperate, and it's very lovely. I know a great many of our snowbirds love to go down there, don't they?
Yeah, we have, in fact, in the desert in here in California, just like in Florida, I think, a lot of Canadians. Now, it's a very interesting thing about Canadians.
No, you're not going to talk about Canadians because I've got a lot of Canadian friends and I don't want you squatting over them and relieving yourself.
Hold on, General. I'm not going to do anything of the sort. I got my cousins who are up in Canada. They were going to come down, and I think they're actually going to Florida. I don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they go to Florida and sometimes they don't. Canadians go to Florida, and they come out to Palm Springs in the winter. Now, here's an interesting thing, because it depends on the state, I really believe. Minnesotans, you know people in Minnesota, right?
Yes, I know people in Minnesota. What about them?
All right. They go in the wintertime. They don't go to California. They go to either Florida or Cancun, Mexico.
Yeah, they go to Vegas, too.
And Vegas, yeah. Now, that's Minnesotans. The Canadians, well, the Canadians go to Vegas and California and Florida.
Well, why did the Minnesotans go to Mexico?
I don't know. But go down to Cancun in the winter, and there's gophers. Is that what you call guys from Minnesota?
Yes, you call them golden gophers.
Well, you don't call the people golden gophers, do you?
You don't call a gopher that. You think there's such a gopher as a golden... There might be a golden gopher, I don't know. But I can tell you that if there was a golden gopher, I'd be very reluctant to want to kill that thing. I don't know.
No. It's the name of the football team. But in any event, so that's kind of an interesting thing. And I remember I was getting on the plane, and then... Vegas also has a fair number of people visiting there in the wintertime from, like, Portland, places like that. But I found this to be true, that they're, depending upon the region of the country and the region, and Canada is like a, I shouldn't say this because people get mad at me, but Canada's almost like another state in a way, you know, because they have their little thing that they do. But there's certain places that people go, and you find more of them in one place than in another. Vegas is huge, man, obviously, in the wintertime for a lot of people.
Well, what about Californians don't go to Vegas in the winter?
Californians go to Vegas all the... It doesn't... What do you mean?
Well, you're saying there's a specific time of year.
Yeah, when do Californians go to Vegas?
Whenever they want to go to Vegas. What do you mean?
Well, when do you go to Vegas?
Whenever I feel like it.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out when I'm supposed to go.
What do you mean when you're supposed to go?
If Californians go to Vegas the way other people go to Vegas, then there's a time of year.
Well, no, Californians don't go to Vegas the way other people go to Vegas, because Californians are right next to Vegas, so they go whenever the hell they want.
So I can go anywhere, anytime I want?
Hey, bud, can I tell you something?
Well, just try to get an answer, Mr. Henry.
I'm answering the question. You can go anytime you want. There's no, I have to go at a certain time of year.
You said that a Canadian goes when it's supposed to go.
I did not say that.
All right, well, if you didn't say that, you didn't say it. If you're lying...
Wait a minute. You see, this is where I think you guys are kidding, you know?
Kidding how?
Kidding as in you're not serious. Are you serious?
All we know is we heard you say that there are different regions of the country that are directed to certain areas of the year.
No, they're not directed at all.
All right, well, that's what we thought you said.
No, there's no such thing in America of, hi, I'm from Wisconsin, where do I go this year? Okay, you people, you go to Mexico. Now, where are you from? Minnesota. All right, you go to Cancun, and you... No, we don't do that.
Well, Phil, that's what you were saying.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Phil, don't get up. Just because your mind is coming unglued doesn't mean the rest of us have got to go down to Crapper with you. We're trying to understand.
Hey, General, all night long I've been listening to your mind coming unglued. Speaking of minds coming unglued.
In what sense?
Well, that's a good point. The whole thing about, are you experienced? Well, I am.
Hold on for just a minute.
Yeah, you did say that, General.
No. Now, Jimi Hendrix was singing a song, but first, are you experienced? Well, guess what? I am.
Yeah, well, he isn't singing it that way. How do you get... You're getting a whole...
Well, it's the whole female-feminine liberation front. That's the thing that I find fault with.
I see. And so Jimmy's song was a...
It's Jimmy, huh?
Yeah, it's Jimmy. And his song was about men taking back the power?
You can look at it that way, yes.
Well, I don't know. I've heard that song, and it sounds like a big acid. There's a whole acid head thing, and it's just, it's all acid.
Well, I probably you're right, Margaret.
But the whole thing you're talking about, you seen a sun blowing up and everything?
The what?
No. I've seen the sun rise from the bottom of the sea. Well, yeah? Well, guess what? Are you experienced? No. Well, I am.
Yeah, okay. So, guys, thank you very, very much. It's been nice talking to you. Nice knowing you. Nice meeting you. Good Lord.
Well, Phil.
No, not well, Phil. We're going to close out. I don't know how much time we got, but we're going to close out with a little bit of Band-Aid here from our holiday music, if I can find it. Thank you very much, General. Oh, we got only a minute. Shoot. Thank you, General. I probably should have gotten to the music sooner because I think it would have been far, far more, a far, far better thing what I do than what I had done, did do before.
Well said, Phil.
Thank you. See you guys tomorrow night, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light.